This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi wahdahu wa sallallahu wa sallama ala man la nabiyya ba'dahu wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. My beloved brothers, my dearest sisters, these are the best days of the year. Today is a beautiful day because it's a Friday. Over and above that, it's one of the 10 best days of the year in which Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us through the blessed lips of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that there can never be any days in which good deeds that are done are more loved by Allah than these 10 days. Which are the 10 days? The first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. So you and I, may Allah accept our good deeds. The 5 daily prayers we fulfill in these days are unlike other days. One might ask, what about Ramadan? Good question. Ramadan, the nights are more powerful than the day. And in these 10 days, the days are more powerful than the nights. Simple. So Laylatul Qadr is the most powerful of all nights. We know that is the most powerful time of the whole year. It is a night that Allah Almighty describes when He says, Laylatul Qadri khayrun min alfi shahr. The night of decree or the night of power is better than 1,000 months. And the whole surah is named after that night. But these 10 days, the days, daylight, the days are powerful. Allah refers to them as the 10 nights because in the Arabic language, just like in many other languages, when I ask you, for example, how long are you going to be in Johannesburg for? And you say 4 nights. You actually mean I'm going to be there for 4 days. Some of us, we still say 4 days. But technically, when they charge you at the hotels, you know they charge you per night. So Allah says, وَالْفَجْرِ وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ. Allah swears an oath by these days. And Allah swears an oath by the Fajr, the dawn. And Allah says, Subhanallah Rabbil Alameen. He says, and by the 10 nights. So He's taking an oath by something grand. Because Allah Almighty is the only one who can swear an oath by something besides Himself. As for us, we're not allowed to take an oath using the name of anyone or anything besides Allah. مَنْ كَانَ حَالِفًا فَلْيَحْلِفْ بِاللَّهِ. Whoever wants to take an oath, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, should take an oath in the name of Allah. You take an oath by Allah. I swear by Allah. You can't say, I swear by the head of my child. Some people say that it's wrong. You can't say, I swear by my father. That's wrong. In Islam, we say, I swear by Allah. I swear by the most merciful. I swear by the one who created me. I swear by the Lord of the Kaaba. And so on. That's all correct. No problem. Allah is the only one who can take an oath with something else. So He says, وَالضُّحَى. That's an oath. Allah says, وَالْفَجُرْ. That's an oath. And so on. So when Allah takes an oath by something, it means He wants to draw your attention to how great that particular thing is. He wants you to ponder over it, or He wants you to think about it due to some reason. And it differs. In this particular case, these 10 days, my brothers, my sisters. Number one, those who are intending to fulfill a pillar of Islam, the fifth one, the Hajj, they should be there already or almost there. The plans should have been made. Some leave last minute. And mashallah, it's not wrong for as long as you're there on time. But you should have already made a plan by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You might have the odd case where sometimes a person is so gifted by Allah that last minute they say, hey, come, you know what, your name is coming and you've got to go. And there's only a day left, mashallah. You're flying out on the 6th. I think that's technically impossible, but for Allah, nothing's impossible. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us acceptance. So, the people fulfilling this powerful ibadah, known as a pillar of Islam, the fifth pillar, the last pillar of Islam, they are already there, most of them. The buzz of the place is definitely at a peak. The tawaf that is happening, the people that are there from all over the world, both in Mecca and Medina, unlike any other time of the year. Amazing. And what are they going there for? To declare the oneness of Allah. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. I am at your service, O Allah, I am at your service. Labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. I'm at your service, O Allah. There is none as a partner. You do not have a partner. There is no partner with you, O Allah. So they are going there to declare the oneness of Allah. And to honor the pillar that Allah has kept of Islam. Now, why is it the fifth pillar? Why isn't Hajj the first pillar of Islam? Simple. Because some of these pillars, every single one of us must be involved in them. Like the first pillar, everyone has to say and utter and believe and teach and work towards. That's the La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. I bear witness there is none worthy of worship besides Allah. I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his messenger. We repeat it in Adhan so often. It is repeated and should be repeated by us every day. And you can repeat it now as well. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Oh, you can say abduhu wa rasuluhu. Subhanallah, the first pillar. The second one, salah. It is 5 times every single day, minimum. Every single day. And every single one of us has to fulfill it. Besides women who have been excused at a time of the month when they have their menstrual cycle. Or when they've just given birth. Excused. Allah says, don't worry. You can pray in other different ways. But this particular prayer known as salah, you're excused from it. Subhanallah. But everyone else, 5 times a day. Then it comes to the next pillar. What is the next pillar? Come on, guys. Zakah. Right? Zakah is to be given. Charity is given to the poor. Not everyone gives zakah. Some are receivers. They will receive zakah. Right? So now notice it's the third pillar. You follow? First one, everyone. Second one, everyone. Third one, some people. Who are they? The people who have. What do they have? What Allah's given them. Whatever Allah's given you, give others. Some of it is compulsory. The compulsory part of it is the pillar of Islam. When Allah's given you more than a certain amount, you have to give. And the rest of it is voluntary. Sometimes Allah hasn't given you that amount, but Allah says, well, if you give, it's good for you. We're going to give you more. أَنْفِقْ يَبْنَ آدَمَ أُنْفِقْ عَلَيْكَ. You want to spend, I'll spend on you. You want to give even though you're in need, we will give you. And we are not in need. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. A quick way of getting is giving. Did you ever know that? A quick way of getting is giving. You want happiness, create happiness in the lives of others. See how happy Allah will make you over time. You want wealth, give something to others. But when you become attached to it and you don't even want to give it out to those who might need it more than you, even if it is a fraction, how do you expect to get more? That's why when you eat a fruit, what do you have to do? There is a part of it you've got to return back into the soil. It will grow more. You want to chow the seeds as well. Sorry. We used to think when we were little, you eat the seeds and maybe the plantation will start growing from your ears. Do you remember they used to tell us that? They were liars. You've got to put it back into the soil. It's Allah telling you that, you know what? What we've given you, a small portion of it, give it away. When I was learning about zakah at one stage, very little. And they told me, well, generally it's 2.5%. I started looking at an apple and I told myself, you know, the seeds and the space it takes from that apple, approximately 2.5% of the apple's going back. Obviously, it's not an Islamic thing to think about the 2.5% of an apple and a fruit, but it's just me. Because when you get to a pomegranate, the whole thing is seed. Allah make it easy. Allah make it easy. The point I'm raising is that's the third pillar. Because not everyone is involved in it. But it encompasses everyone in the sense that throughout the year, people are giving, people are receiving. Okay? But Ramadan or fasting is the fourth pillar because it is only 1 month of the year. 1 month only. The rest of the year, there's no Ramadan. Fasting in the month of Ramadan, that's a pillar of Islam. You can't just say fasting is a pillar of Islam. Fasting in the month of Ramadan. When the Prophet ﷺ says, Sawmu Ramadan, which means to fast in Ramadan. You fast outside Ramadan, you'll get a reward. There's Sunnah fast, there's Nafil fast, the Monday and the Thursday, the 13th, 14th, 15th of the lunar calendar or the lunar month. And so on, you fast on the day of Arafah. For those who are not in Hajj, Allah rewards you so greatly. You fast during these 10 days, how many ever days you can, one or more, alhamdulillah, you get a reward. You fast, for example, 10th of Muharram and 11th, or 9th, 10th, 11th, or 9th and 10th, you get a reward. Subhanallah, all these are beautiful fasts, but they are not farad, they're not compulsory. The compulsory one is the pillar. Just like when we spoke of zakat, I told you the 2.5% is compulsory. Beyond that is expected of you, but it's not compulsory, it's a bonus. You should be giving, and you should be fasting the extras. It's beneficial for you, not just your health, but everything else. Subhanallah. But it's the fourth pillar, because it's only 1 month in the whole year. Hajj is the fifth pillar, because it's once in a lifetime. You see there, it's the fifth. Otherwise, it would have been the first. But it's once in a lifetime. Al-Aqra ibn Habis, radiallahu anhu, he gets up after the Hajj and he says, Afi kulli amin ya Rasulullah. Is this compulsory every year, O Messenger? He kept quiet. The Prophet ﷺ did not even answer the question, because why are you being, you know, as they say, why are you being so inquisitive? In our lingo, we say curiosity kills the cat. This will kill all the cats. Later, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, لو قلت نعم لوجب. If I said yes, it would have been compulsory upon the whole ummah every year. Imagine what would have happened. Our quota in South Africa, in this country here, is probably round about 3,000, maybe between 3 and 4. We're hoping that they can perhaps leave it at 5,000 for us, inshallah. Because they need to take into consideration two things. So far, I think they take into consideration one thing, the population of Muslims. But they should be taking into consideration two things, because Hajj is farad on those who can afford. So, if you're in a country where the population might not be that big, but the financial standing of the population is such that they can afford the Hajj, you need to take that into consideration too. So the equation needs to be revisited to include two things: the population and the financial standing. You have a country like this, perhaps I think 5,000 is excellent. People will be smiling. But never mind, we're still happy, because they've still given us more than the 1,000 for every million. MashaAllah. That's roughly what they use, for those of you who know. That was the last time I checked. So if it's changed after that, please excuse me. However, the point I want to raise here is Hajj being compulsory once upon or in a lifetime. It's not on everyone. It's only on those who can afford it. If you can afford the trip, you go. And while you're out, you need to make sure you fulfill your financial obligations while you're out. So someone might ask, I said this 2 weeks ago somewhere, because I was asked that, but I was asked it again, that look, I have got a loan. It's going to take me 20 years to pay for this house. Can I go for Hajj? The answer to that is simple. If you are owing someone some money right now where they are following you because you're supposed to have already given them, then you got to pay them before you go for Hajj. But if you're owing a long-term loan or a debt, then for as long as you've sorted out the amounts that are going to be due during your absence, you still have to go for Hajj. During my absence, it's a small amount, 2 months, not even 2 months, 1 month. I need to make sure the payment for this particular month is done. And if it's sorted and it's made, I've made arrangements for it and I can, then you have to still go for Hajj. Even if you're owing a million, 20 million over 20 years. You follow? Otherwise, some of the wealthiest people live on overdraft. I'm not talking about its permissibility or prohibition. I'm just giving you a reality. Okay? Some of the wealthiest people, their lives are such that they're always owing money, they've got to pay and so on. They would never end up going for Hajj, but the guy's driving a Ferrari and a Bentley and, for example, a Straightly. You know what's a Straightly? It's better than a Bentley because it's no longer bent. One day, one of the youngsters will hear me say, we'll come and invent it, inshallah, right? Make money together, inshallah. And then we'll come to Bosman and we distribute. May Allah bless you guys. Wallahi, my brothers, my sisters, I want to let you know something. Hajj is something very big. It's a pillar of Islam. It is something we should really be looking forward to, make dua, oh Allah, take me for Hajj. Even if you don't have the means. Because if Allah accepts that dua, He first has to give you the means. You follow what I'm saying? So if you want something, you make a dua, oh Allah, help me to fulfill Hajj. People say, but you're a beggar, you're such a poor person. You also say, keep quiet, I'm calling the Lord of the worlds. I'm calling my maker, the Lord who's going to do things for me. Who knows, the following year you might just strike a deal, everything is paid and you're on your way for Hajj. Subhanallah. May Allah take us for Hajj. All of us. Over and above that, those going for Hajj, give them a little bit of importance. Wallahi, it's not an easy thing. Those returning from Hajj, remind them that they are Hujjaj. Give them a little bit of importance. If you've been for Hajj, when you come back, carry yourself as a Haji. I've been for Hajj. It's a pillar of Islam. What do I get by fulfilling that pillar? Allah says, do you know what you get? You get a reset completely of all the bad that you did, wiped out, and you come back as the day your mother gave birth to you, but the bonus is the good deeds are still there. You see, when I tell you, you're as clean as the day you were born, it means I'm starting at zero. When you come back from Hajj, you're as clean as the day you were born, and even cleaner because you are not starting at zero. All the good deeds are still there. Who told you that by going for Hajj, everything's wiped out, even your good deeds that you did all along wiped out? If that was the case, no one would ever do good deeds until they went for Hajj and say, well, it's going to reset, let me come back and start at naught. No, it's not an odometer where you keep it pressed and suddenly it comes back zero. It gives you the good mileage, mashallah, if there is anything known as good mileage. So, Hajj is something very important. People go for Hajj, pray for them, may Allah make it easy for them and accept it from them. And may Allah help us so that we understand what Allah wants. Allah loved the fact that Ibrahim alayhi salam answered his instruction without asking a question. So Allah says, we're going to carry this example up to the end. When you go for Hajj, do you understand every single thing that you're doing? You may understand some things, you may not understand some things. If you ask me, why are you circumambulating the Kaaba or going round the Kaaba seven times? What's the true answer? You got to feel like Ibrahim alayhi salam for a moment and say, because Allah instructed. Allahu Akbar. Sufficient for me. Didn't Ibrahim alayhi salam say, because Allah instructed, when so many things he was instructed with and he didn't even say why? Imagine why. We are instructed to fulfill five salah. We still have a question, but how come and why and so on. No, come. Because Allah said come. That's why we're coming. When Allah tells you dress in a certain way, people say, but why? It's not fair. I've heard people say this. It's not fair. Why this and why does male have to dress this way? Female have to dress. You know what? You're a Muslim. Just say sami'na wa ata'na. We have heard it and we have adopted it and accepted it. The fact that it came from Allah is enough for me. I don't know, but I definitely do know. If my Lord has instructed something, there has to be greatest benefit in this world and the next. That's my Lord. That's the Hajj. Hajj is training you to come back. And if you could go and pelt the Jamarat, and you could stay in Mina and go to Arafah and Muzdalifah and come back and sacrifice an animal and wear certain types of clothing and do certain things and not do certain things for the sake of Allah when you come back, because you were trained not to question when you knew that the instruction came from Allah, you don't question anything that comes from Allah ever again. True believer, there you are. Where did you get the training from? I went for Hajj. And when you go for Hajj, let me tell you what happens. There's not 1,000 people. There's not 100,000 people. There are a few million people. And not just from one place, not just from two places, from 200 different nationalities and beyond. Subhanallah. All of them, it cannot be a coincidence that they're just coming. No chance. They are evidence that Allah and the deen of Allah is the truth. When I went to Makkah, and I've been now, very recently, made Umrah and came back. And I'm looking at people, faces, nationalities, height, race, color, lingos, languages, everything else. And I'm saying, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Who am I? I think I'm a big deal in my own community. Wallahi, all of these people are calling to Allah, tears in their eyes. They're all enthusiastic. They're all doing the same thing. They're asking Allah's forgiveness. They're worshipping Allah. They say, my maker, you are the only one. You are the one. When we return to you, have mercy on us. There are billions of people repeating the same thing. It's not just a coincidence. It's not something. Your iman becomes, you know, refreshed, if I can use that word. Strengthened. And it's solid. Because why? Hey, people I can't even speak to, they bear witness exactly as I'm bearing witness. And they come from a part of the globe I've never heard of before. Wallahi. And here I am thinking, should I read Salah or shouldn't I go for Salah? Can I go for Jum'ah or should I not go for Jum'ah? Come for Jum'ah. See the types of people who pray to Allah. It should refresh you to say, I'm going to pray too. There's an older person. There's an unhealthier person. There's a person who perhaps is struggling more than you and I, and they are here praying and crying to Allah, and then they're smiling at you. Salamu alaikum. Here in Bosman, salam buta. MashaAllah. Right? And they're so happy, and you have no idea what sickness they have, what problems they have, and they're just smiling at you. Why? Because Allah is my maker. That's it. My iman. I've got iman. I'm greeting you. May peace be upon you. Allahu Akbar. May peace be upon all of us. The Hajj is something we should talk about. Today is a Friday, and it is within those 10 days, and there's no other Friday coming, because Eid here in this country will be on the coming Thursday, inshallah. And you know what? We're all going to declare the greatness of Allah, because Allah is the greatest. Now I ask you a question. Surely we should look into our hearts and understand the meaning of what we're saying and ask ourselves, am I genuine or am I just paying lip service? Because wallahi, during those days of Tashriq, immediately after the Farad prayer, what do we say? Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. Amazing. Amazing words. Do you know the meaning? You're saying Allah is the greatest, Allah is the greatest. There is none worthy of worship besides Allah. Allah is the greatest. Allah is indeed the greatest. And unto Him belongs all praise. He has given me and blessed me. Allah has blessed you and I. I was speaking last week, and I was making mention of something that really moved me this whole week. Because as I said it, I didn't realize it would impact upon me too. I said, you want the best of this world. Guess what? You probably already have it and you don't know. What was the best of this world? What is the best of this world? Is it not your connection with Allah? Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't you and I believe afdalul khalqi wa akramul rusuli, best of creation, most noble of all prophets? Tell me, did he have what we have in terms of material worldly items? If Allah wanted, he could have given him much more. Much more. But he lived at a time, or he was in the presence of the people at the time, when there was no even running water from the tap, no electricity, no internet, no cars, no planes, no nothing. Subhanallah. Today we're so spoilt, some few people got into a small capsule in order to go and see the Titanic. Two of them were Muslim. May Allah grant them Jannah and have mercy on them. They passed on. But that's the level upon which we've gotten to today. Technology. But if that was the success of this world and the best of this world, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have had it before you and I. You know what Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Furqan? Tabarakalladhi in sha'a ja'ala laka khayran min thalik. Glory be to Allah. Great is Allah. Whom, if He willed, He could have given you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, better than all of that. He could have given you better than all of that. Whatever these people have, Allah says, we could have given you better than all of that. But the best thing ever is your connection with your maker. The best thing ever. So these are the most powerful days. I want to ask you, my brothers and sisters, let's engage in extra acts of worship, goodness, even if it is a smile on the face. fulfill your 5 daily salah. Try to fast these days. There's a few days remaining. You can fast the days. You don't have to fast all of them. Give a charity. Be helpful. Solve problems. Solving problems is actually a big ibadah. Resolving, seeking forgiveness. You know, recently there was someone who just told someone else after a long time, "I'm sorry, forgive me." And wallahi, it changed the lives of so many people. Those words, they changed the lives of so many people. Be you wrong or not, wallahi, if that is going to solve the problem, and it was not such a big deal, so what? Forgive me, forgive me. And I'm a person, I don't like to say, forgive me if I faltered. That word if is a problem, because you are trying to say, I don't know, but if you were hurt, forgive me. I just say, forgive me. That's it. Whatever has happened, please forgive me. You might want to add, look, I didn't do things intentionally, forgive me. And I'm telling you here and now, and all those who might see this and hear this, forgive me. Without an if, forgive me. Anything I said or did that hurt you, forgive me. I'm sorry. May Allah forgive me too. So we want paradise. I told you, you give, you get. You give wealth, you get. You forgive others, Allah forgives you. He says it in the Quran. وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Why don't you forgive and embrace? Don't you want Allah to forgive you? There, Allah's brought the two together. It doesn't mean I have to forgive. But if you're going to show that it was so hard for me to forgive you, but I still forgave you, Allah will say, for me, it's easy to forgive you. Here's the forgiveness. Subhanallah Rabbil Alameen. May Allah grant good health to those who are unwell. May Allah make it easy for the hajis who are in hajj. The elderly who are in hajj, in some countries they've been saving for years, 20 years, and now they're gone. May Allah make it easy for them. The weather, it's very hot there. May Allah grant them cool days of hajj. May Allah make it easy such that they return to us salimin, ghanimin, with a hajj mabrur and an accepted hajj. May Allah make their du'as acceptable, and may Allah remind them to make du'as for us while they are there. Because indeed, the day of Arafah is powerful for all of us. We should be fasting the day of Arafah. That's the day preceding the day of Eid. And for them, it is so powerful. They are in Arafah. Although they shouldn't be fasting because they are hajis. And those in hajj, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not fast on the day of Arafah. So they should not. But their du'as, that is the day of hajj. Hajj is Arafah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Al-hajju Arafah." You missed Arafah, you miss your hajj. Imagine what a powerful moment they will be having from the time of Dhuhr coming all the way down to the sun setting. May Allah bless them. May Allah take us there. And really on that day, we should also be from among those who call out to Allah. Make dua. Imagine the whole world calling out to Allah. Now I end by saying, my brothers, my sisters, start preparing for your sacrifice. Sacrificial animal. Again, celebration of the same thing. Follow instructions without asking questions. That's what happened to Ibrahim alayhi salam. The instruction he was given by Allah that would not make sense to any human being is to sacrifice his son. And people might say, oh, you Muslims came up with this on your own. Well, I can tell you there are other faiths who actually share the same story. There might be a discrepancy as to who exactly it was, whether it was Ishaq or Ismail. We believe chronologically Ishaq was only born years later. So 13 years later. So it was definitely not him. It was Ismail. But we don't want to argue. Others who believe in other faiths something else, it's okay. We can prove you completely wrong. But never mind, it's not a matter of debate. The point I want to raise, did it not happen that Allah instructed Ibrahim alayhi salam to sacrifice his son? The answer is yes. There we go. That's the point I'm raising. Like I told you, we can bowl you mid-wicket regarding that matter. But no problem, we don't want to. We're not playing cricket yet. But my brothers, my sisters, prepare for the sacrifice. And tell yourself, whether you are going to slaughter or you're waiting for the meat from the people, both of those need to think about the lesson from it. Allah says, لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. The meat or the blood is not going to get to Allah. But the connection with Allah from you is what's going to get to Allah. The taqwa, the piety, the God consciousness. Yes, that's the lesson. So even if you're just going to receive meat, mashallah, you're looking for, hey, MashaAllah, we got this meat, so nice, lamb, we're going to cook it. As you're eating it, think of your salah. Why? Because that connection with Allah. Think of your goodness, think of your dress code, think of quitting your bad habits. Today, people have weird habits. So weird, like I said a few weeks ago in the same masjid, that they want to convince you that it's not weird. That's what it is. That's how weird it is sometimes. And it's becoming so prevalent that they're beginning to argue that it's not weird. Subhanallah. Just ask Allah to grant you goodness. Wallahi. And ask Allah to keep us steadfast on the straight path. Like I've always said, the most powerful dua that is repeated the most ever in existence is Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. It's repeated billions of times a day. Because there are so many Muslims, you pray 5 times a day, every unit you say, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, guide us to the straight path. That proves that that is the most important thing ever, is guidance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide all of us and bless us all. You know, when I come to this masjid, I really do not feel like ending my talk. Today, Sheikh told me, you know, you can go on and on up to 1:30. I told him, man, even I need to go. May Allah bless you all and grant you barakah, goodness. I pray that you have a blessed Eid when it comes. And these beautiful days, I hope that these few words have moved us. Inshallah, we need to be better people. The world is full of a lot of evil, but trust me, there's a lot of good as well. And we need to be carriers, and we need to spread that good. May Allah bless us all. أقول قولي هذا وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.